This is an incident. It's actually toward the end of the book. But I know what I wanted to say. I wanted to say that when you say you tricked out a bus, you really mm-hmm. did, because you had satellite dishes on the roof. You were getting Wi-Fi and you were getting satellite TV. So this wasn't like you were roughing it.
No.
Wasn't that one of your?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, my husband would not have done that to me. So, and he knew that it would have probably taken him even longer to convince me otherwise. But, you know, we ended up not having TV for a good part of the trip.
Because the guy that installed it was incompetent?
Yes. we had a lot of things go wrong with the electronic stuff. And that was actually a blessing. We started some traditions on the bus that we continue to this day. We no longer watch TV while we have dinner. We cook. My gosh, what a concept. We cook dinner together with music on. We take time out to dance. It was just a wonderful thing to spend 24/7 with your spouse in 340 square feet. And we got to see different sides of each other, even after being together for so long. I wouldn't have expected that at all. But to see each other react to new and challenging situations was fabulous.
I'd like to remind our listeners that I'm speaking with Doreen O'Ryan, O-R-I-O-N. Title of her book is Queen of the Road, published by Broadway Books. It occurs to me that in a situation you just described, you're either going to have a wonderful bonding experience or there's going to be an axe murder at some point during the trip.
Yeah. Well,
and it came close a couple of times,
well,
didn't it?
I made sure we didn't pack any axes, so I didn't want that to happen.
you had the shakedown cruise first, which you referred to as a meltdown cruise.
Yes.
You want to describe that first shakedown and what happened on that?
Yes. Well, we were told by the people that helped us build our bus that we really should take a mini cruise first, just to work any of the bugs out. We didn't really know what they were talking about, but oh my gosh, we had so many disasters. Within 10 minutes after hitting the highway at 60 miles an hour, we found out that the lock on the door wasn't working and it flew open, nearly sucking me out, because of course I sit right next to that seat. So that happened three times that day. We had such a horrible hailstorm. I went back to check on the neurotic cat who had been huddled under the bed covers the entire first day, thinking at the time, as I was walking back, I was thinking, oh gosh, this probably scared the pee out of her. And it had, right through to the mattress. And then the very next day out, going through mountain passes, Tim realized he didn't know how to use the brakes. So that was just a smattering of the disasters we had on the first day. Later on, of course, we had the fire and the flood and the armed robbery and the nudist RV park and a ton of other misadventures.
You can't just throw these things out without without elaborating. The one everybody wants to know about, of course, is the nudist RV park.
Yes, the nudist RV park.
Can you back up one thing? Talk about RV parks in general. Mm-hmm. What was your experience with them?
Generally, very good. You know, everybody in RV parks, they're in a good mood. They're on vacation. So even though I was used to a lot of space and a lot of privacy at home, and now sometimes we might be parked 2 feet from another rig, it was wonderful. You just pull up the curtains if you want to have some privacy. And if not, you go out in the morning, you socialize. What a concept. I mean, at home, I have this incident in the book where Tim was talking to a neighbor who hadn't seen me, I guess, in months and months. This was in February. And I poke my head out to say hello. And she's just shocked, saying, oh, my gosh, Doreen, it's so nice to see you. Excuse me. And Tim sings out, oh, guess it's 6 more weeks of winter. So, yeah, I found myself just enjoying the whole social aspect of it, meeting new people. I mean, it's amazing. You meet people from all over. We even met people from Germany in an RV park in Alaska. It's just incredible.
Well, you know, the thing that pops into one's mind is if you've ever had a dorm experience, it's like living mm-hmm. in the dorms.
Yeah.
And that, which you did, undoubtedly,
mm-hmm.
at some point in your
oh,
life.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that? Did you think you would ever want to do anything like that again?
I did enjoy it. I remember in the dorms, though, I never had a private room. I mean, that would be nice, you know, to sleeping in two separate beds so close together with someone is kind of hard. But other than that, yeah, the whole social aspect. Although I think at this age, I'd want my own bathroom, too.
So, I understand what you're saying.
Bigger
yeah.
closets. Yeah.
What? Oh, yeah. Before we get into the nude RV park, tell us why you would need, it does say on the cover, 200 shoes.
Shoes are not something you need. Shoes are something.
Well, of course there's something you need.
No,
you can't walk around barefoot in the city.
Well, that's one pair. the 199 others, they're works of art. So even though I don't really wear a lot of shoes anymore, and I haven't bought shoes since the trip, it's still hard to get rid of them. They're just pretty to look at, although I think when we do full-time and shortly in a couple of years that I'll be probably putting them all on eBay.
Mm, good for you. You know, we do live in a country where most people, when they hear Mono Oblanic, think somebody's speaking Croatian. But that's not you, is it?
Not the girls from my neighborhood. No, no.
Was that pre-Sex in the City? I mean, were you into that stuff before all of that consumerist stuff was out there for everybody to see?
I think so, because I even remember in residency doing some retail therapy of my own.
Retail therapy.
Yeah.
I feel crummy today. I'll go buy a pair of shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get to wear them all, or is it just nice knowing that they're there?
Yeah, you end up not wearing most of them, and I brought a lot on the trip, and I think I wore three the whole time, the whole year. So that taught me a lot, too, and about, you know, just what's important. I think, you know, often it takes some, as a psychiatrist, I see this all the time, it takes a tragedy for people to really understand what's important in their lives. Mm-hmm. And I think Tim's thing was he didn't want to wait. He wanted to live life now and live his dreams now. And I'm so glad he did. And I'm really glad he made me take this trip.
You mean all those people have been saying simplify all these years? They may in fact be right.
They may in fact be right. Yeah, that's what we discovered that we want to do. And that's why we're going to be living in the bus full time.
The thing, I mean, the most charming thing about all of the things that happened to you in the bus is the dancing.
Oh, yeah. Even in our tiny little kitchen space, we made room and time to dance. Mm-hmm. And it's something we continue to this day.
One of those things I really love about Neil Young is that whatever else he's singing, he's always going to have one song about how much he still loves his wife and how much he loves to dance with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm very fortunate, and I know I'm very fortunate every day that that Tim and I met and that we're together.
Nude RV Park.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
All right.
I had to go there.
Yeah, I know. You had to go there. We had to go there, too. Mm-hmm. You know, even though Tim's a psychiatrist, he is still a typical guy. He understands about unconscious drives and all that stuff, but typical guys want to go to nudist RV parks. Of course, I told him I would never, ever, ever. And then I realized, you know, who am I kidding here? He's got me living on a bus for a year. I'm going to the nudist RV park. So we did, and it shocked me as well. It was just a very friendly, family-oriented place. Nobody cares what you look like. And it was a real important lesson in letting it all hang out.
So to speak.
So to speak, especially when partaking of naked karaoke. But it was, we would actually go
the
back
mind
again.
Reels. Naked karaoke. I can barely stand the clothed karaoke.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I got to ask you this before we forget, before I forget. I'm sure you won't forget it, but tell us about Kill the Cricket.
Oh, Kill the Cricket.
That's toward the end of the book.
Gosh.
That to me was like one of the last manifestations of the old Doreen popping out in the middle of in the middle of all these vast changes you were going through.
Well, that was actually a story from my first book tour, which was years ago, and that was to illustrate how I'm not a very good sleeper. And when I was on tour last time, it was the very end of my tour. I was exhausted. I'd been getting like 4 hours a night. I had to be up early in the morning, and in the middle of the night, I hear a cricket in my room, and it's a nice hotel. There should not be a cricket in the room. So I call up the concierge and I say, "There's a cricket in my room." So they send somebody up, comes in. I'm moaning about the cricket, and all of a sudden he hears it too, and it's the battery on the smoke alarm. It sounds like a cricket. So he's very thrilled. He says, "Oh, ma'am, look, that's what it is." And I said, "Ah, the cricket." And he says, "Look, I need to change the battery. I'll be right back." And I said, "I have to get up in 2 hours." He goes, but ma'am, it's the fire code. I have to." And I just said, "Kill it. Just kill the cricket." So he actually left rather abruptly and was never seen again.
With the dead battery.
With the dead battery.
Lovely
he did
man.
Not come back. Yeah, to this day I feel terrible,
figured
actually.
It's 3 hours that he was violating the fire code. What the
yes,
hell? You know?
Yeah.
I lived in D.C. for 18 years, so I was really taken with your observations about Virginia, D.C., Maryland, that area there. Tell us a little about your trip through the nation's capital area.
Well, it was wonderful. Of course, I've been to D.C. before since I'm from the East Coast. But I had what was particularly wonderful for me about that area is that because I do my insurance review work for different companies around the country, there are many people that I've, quote, met by phone that I've never actually laid eyes on. And some of these people I've known for years. So one company that I work for is based in Maryland. And I got to meet these people. And it's just fascinating to feel like you know people and then to actually see them and realize, no, maybe I don't really know them. And that was pretty eye-opening too.
Yeah, the people who have telephone relationships with other people are either amazed or very about one time out of 50, you peg the person exactly what they look like, what mm-hmm. they're wearing, that kind of everything mm-hmm. else is just your voice isn't mm-hmm. you really, is it?
No, but, you know, we had also talked about our lives and all this kind of thing over the years. And so it made me wonder what they must think of me, you know, that I'm this kind of grouchy couch potato. And
self-described grouchy couch potato.
Yeah, and it made me really have to take a good look at myself.
You throw in a little bit of history from almost everywhere you go, mm-hmm. Almost everywhere, not for every mm-hmm. particular thing you mentioned, but naturally in the National Capital Area, you yeah. have to throw in a little bit of history. Mm-hmm. Were you curious about this stuff at all before? Did you fill it in when you were writing the book? When did you mm-hmm. become interested in the history of the places you went to?
I was always interested in history. I've always been a pretty avid reader. So I love reading memoir and biography particularly and narrative nonfiction. I think those are my favorites. So, yeah, I've always been interested in history. So as we would go places, Tim is kind of a state capital buff. So we try to be sure to go to the state capital everywhere we went. But I also like I really just enjoy wandering around like, oh, gosh, in Savannah and
amazing
in the Art
place,
Deco district in Miami. Yeah, all these places that you can, you know, take like an audio tour at your own pace. I just love that. Or in Savannah, they'll give you a sheet and, you know, you walk at your own pace and you go in the buildings you want to go and it gives you the history. And I just love that. So I kept all of this stuff from the trip and I took notes and I thought, well, if I do get to write a book, I can go back and really fill some of this stuff in that we learned about.
You also liked Alaska a lot. That's
yes.
That's quite a little schlep to, you know, even from Oregon to Washington, it's a schlep to Alaska. Was that always on the agenda to get up there or?
It was. I had always wanted to go to Alaska. I don't really know why. I'm not much of an outdoorsy person, although I love looking at nature from a window. So I figured maybe, okay, in the bus, we can do that. But I had told him at the beginning of the trip, look, if we're going to do this, then why don't we go to Alaska? So we actually put the bus on the ferry up in Prince Rupert, British Columbia. And it was incredible. We did the whole Southeast Passage. We would get out at these little towns that are completely inaccessible by car. And we would stay in an RV park for a few days, and then we'd put the bus back on the ferry and go to the next little town. We met some amazing people that mm-hmm. way and just saw some incredible things.
We have just a couple of minutes left. What's next with your travels? Are you going to be doing more travels? I mean, where do you go next?
I really hope so. Well, like I said, we want to live full-time in the bus. Tim's next harebrained scheme is living in a boat. We don't know anything about boats either, so we'll have to see how that goes. A dream that I've always had, actually, is to go to Australia, New Zealand and spend several months in a rented RV or a used RV and travel around like that.
Driving on the wrong side of the road.
Maybe that's the next name of my next book. I don't know.
Driving on the wrong side of the road.
You just got Queen on the Wrong Side of the Road.
Feel free to use it.
All right, I will.
It's been delightful talking to you. I don't know what your next book is or when it's coming out, but please come back and tell us about it.
Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. I will.
Okay. I've been speaking with Doreen Orion, O-R-I-O-N, Orion.
Yes.
Yes. There we go again.
Thank you.
I'm just too wedded to that, you know, that thing in the sky. Title of the book is Queen of the Road, published by Broadway Books. Thank you.
Thank you.